grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, Aiko, Aiko, Ande, Giacomo Fino, Anane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Oh my gosh, can you believe it? It's time.
It's time
for
to grew.
Another episode. It's time to grew. We are here.
Let me just, I want to just take a quick second to take stock, take an inventory of all the catchphrases that have really, truly organically sprung up on Las Culturistas. I was thinking about this the other day.
Wow.
We've got You Can't Even Get Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't think so, honey.
Yes.
All
the doodah day.
All the doodah day. Ticks and tacks. And look, there are more coming, honey.
Did we just create another one? It's time to grew.
Well, that's one between you that you and I have had for quite some time.
For many years. You guys are getting a true glimpse into our friendship. And you know what? Today on this episode, you're going to get an even closer glimpse into a larger relationship, which is the relationship that Bowen and I have with our guest.
Oh my gosh,
let's off the credits. Let's list the credits, honey, because you know they're important.
Oh, she is the star and writer of her solo show, Diane Trangrelaw Presents Not Dry Yet.
Yes, at the UCB Theater. You can see it running. And she also is on the UCB mod team, The Classic.
Ooh.
Classic comedy provided.
Provided,
by the classic.
Girl. And she was also a former cast member in Characters Welcome at UCB. She teaches at UCB. She
yes,
is
take
a
her
queen.
Class. Take her class. Characters with Chrissy Shackelford.
Chrissy!
And she herself is a character, and you'll be hearing that today.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Chrissy, this is a huge historic Culturistas moment because your name has been dropped at least once in every episode.
Maybe besides Henry and Sudie, the most referenced person.
Absolutely.
I would say.
Thank you so much. I am a mythical creature in this world.
Yes.
I'm happy to be coming out of the forest.
I'm so happy to expose.
Yes,
the last
an expose.
Audience.
This is gotcha journalism from you two.
This is gotcha journalism.
I want to be treated with the same amount of love and respect that you treated your boyfriend on the last episode.
I will. Probably even more. I'll probably even treat you better.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to be very, like, keep it professional.
Which
I
know.
And then I wept.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, it didn't feel that way when they had that whole long, like, 3-minute ode to Henry about how wonderful he is. And he truly is. He deserves every word you said about him. But I don't know how
I will not be shaded for my love.
I was going to say during that episode, and this is just the last episode, I feel like there wasn't enough of a reference to your relationship. Truly.
We got here and Bowen was, and I was like, Bowen, we got to keep professional. We're not going to talk about me and Henry's relation. And then he was like, what? Bowen was like, we must talk about it. We have to.
Why compartmentalize?
I guess. You're right. We're so transparent on the show. Why stop?
Exactly.
Why stop at the bedroom?
Why drop the veil now? You know?
You guys exactly. are very transparent on this show. And one of my favorite things, and I've told you both separately, is how you're always coming back from a hiatus. And I feel like offended that I am not on an episode where you're coming back from a hiatus.
No, you should
I wanted
be
to
honored.
Talk about it for an hour.
I
want to talk about your hiatus.
Chrissy did say that whenever she came on, she wanted the first about 45 minutes to all be about the hiatus.
Okay, well, I mean,
what have you guys been doing? Who's been to China?
Yes, yes.
Who had a hard time with an apartment?
Right.
Who's Chrissy? Going to Orlando soon?
Oh,
who just
oh my
went
God.
To Orlando?
Wait, Chrissy, you just hit such a nerve.
Yeah.
I'm going to Orlando soon.
When? Wait, what? When?
At the end of January. I'm doing 4 days at Disney and only 1 day at Universal, but I am going to Harry Potter World.
That is how you do it, though.
Yeah.
And have you been before?
I went when I was 4, so
okay.
I don't remember. So this
so
is my first time, yeah.
Not to bring Disney into this, but it is a whole new world since
okay.
you last yes. were there.
That was cheap.
Oh, my. Yeah, it was horrible.
Low-hanging fruit.
I'm ashamed. Wait, I'm so excited for you. And can I also tell you? I like planned Nicole Silverberg's whole trip to Orlando. And then she just told me she had to cancel it because Branson he's going to Slam Dance, the film festival. He's
oh,
in
great.
Katie Skelton's film, which
Business.
Is amazing, which is amazing. I'm so excited for them. But also, God damn it.
I know. What a shame.
I have to say, knowing nothing about anything you just said, just hearing that Slam Dance is the name of a festival sounds like a middle school film festival.
I love it.
And I'm sure it's very prestigious. But if
it's
you tell me
one.
A film festival is called Slam Dance.
Slam Dance sounds like what you call like a spring formal. It's,
yeah.
Who's going to the
slam
dance?
But it's like the alt dance.
Yeah, it's
you know?
Like
right.
half the gym is like a basketball court for the boys who like don't want to dance and half the gym is like a dance floor.
Yes. Now, Chrissy, who are you going to Orlando with?
Yeah, tell
this
us.
Is I'm going with my sister and her husband and their kids and my mom.
Oh, great.
That's a good cross section because how old, how young are the kids?
Well, she has five, so they
That's
are
a lot of kids.
4, 6, 8, 10, and 12.
Wow. She really pulsed those out 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
mm-hmm.
That's insane.
It is insane because me and my siblings are very far apart in age. Me and my sister are 10 years apart.
Uh-huh.
And my brother and I are 5 years apart. So technically, we're all five apart in age.
Wow.
So that will be very fun. So you will mm-hmm. get, you'll be gagged because all the age groups are represented.
Yes. I will see it through a child's eyes. Really.
And you'll get to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing.
What?
That's a lot of kids to be going around Universal within one day.
We split. I believe they split because they do this trip every year. So they'll be like, we're going to take the older kids to do this. One adult, because now there's four adults for five kids.
Which seems like, very manageable.
The littles are going to go do the teacups while the olders do this thing.
Okay, I getcha.
And a lot of them are like old pros, except for the 4-year-old one, maybe.
Yeah, the 4-year-old is like going to wear her princess dress every single day. Yeah,
just
one
really,
of those.
Really put your game face on the Universal Day because that's a lot to do in one day, but you can do
it. You can do it. We've
you
done
need,
it.
You need to get an express pass and you get a park hopper.
Mm-hmm. Okay, don't know what any of those words mean. And I
see me after.
Consult. Okay. Consult with me.
Okay, thank you so much.
See me after. You're also going to miss Rachel Winitsky and David Sidorov are going to be there on February 28th.
Yeah. Oh, very
so you'll
fun.
Miss
I missed them by a
month.
Whole month.
And
yeah,
you would have
I'm
missed,
just missed them.
Right. You would have missed me, Matt, and Sudi because we were very tentatively planning a trip out there early March when Sudi was going to be on hiatus. But then that fell through because financially it didn't
so
make
I did
sense.
Just miss you by a month
by
and
a, month and
a cancellation.
Half. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you just missed it. By the skin of your teeth, you missed us. Yeah.
But the thing is, though, to plan a trip there right now is kind of a waste because so much good stuff is coming to Orlando in the summer. Can I list just a few?
Oh, yes. Boy. I really opened up a Pandora's box of
After
Disney.
This, we'll move on. But I do want to say, coming to Orlando this summer is Avatar in Disney World. Animal Kingdom is opening up the Avatar, the world of Pandora.
Wait, is it based on James Cameron's
yes,
film?
Yes, it is, honey.
No.
Yes, it is. It's an entire world. It's going to be an Animal Kingdom, okay? Because in Avatar, obviously, we have animals. I don't know.
I never saw the movie. I just remember Avatar is like that Halloween everyone in college, like hot girls painted themselves blue and had their tits out. Like that's what I remember of Avatar.
Do you know how many times I got told I look like Jake Sully? Not as a human, as an avatar.
As an avatar.
They were like, you look like Jake Sully when he becomes
It's the wide eyes.
That's sweet.
It's the large
wide
eyes.
I don't think it is sweet.
It is always nice to be compared to a celebrity.
Yes.
It's always nice. When I was younger, when everyone was doing that doppelganger day on Facebook.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I was like, I don't know what mine was. One of my friends was like, I don't really know yours either, but I guess if I had to say, maybe Misha Barton.
And oh, God.
Was it a compliment or was it a deep insult?
I don't think ever saying like, I don't know if you have one, but maybe something is ever a compliment.
No, never.
Probably not.
I have to ask you, Matt,
what?
If there's an Avatar ride, where is the Zero Dark 30 ride?
That
Come
is a
on.
Good question.
We need some gender equality in the parks. That's all I'm
what
saying.
What would the Zero Dark 30 attraction look like?
You follow Jessica Chastain.
Into the compound.
It's a ride where hardly anyone goes on it, but it's critically acclaimed.
Yes.
You're right. That's Can you it. Believe these sirens in the background?
Guys.
What the heck?
Obviously, they know. Obviously, someone out there is like, come on, get to the culture that Chrissy experienced as a child.
Yes, yeah. We will do that. But Matt, anything else you want to
plug
for Disney?
Oh, yes, of course. I just want to say, no, moving away from Disney now, because of course we have Avatar opening. We'll see. There's going to be a ride where you fly on the back of a banshee, and apparently beneath you and in between your legs you can feel the beast breathing and you can feel the warmth of its body apparently. this is what I hear. Okay.
Wow.
As yet unconfirmed, that's what I hear. And also there's going to be a Navi River journey. Apparently at the end you're going to go through like this big scene where the Tree of Life is like amazing and lighting up and sinking to the songs, and it's like kind of like a family-friendly river journey with this amazing finale
where you feel the beast between your legs. Very family-friendly.
I guess it would depend.
And then you get wet at the end.
You'd have to bring your own beast on that one.
Okay.
I don't know if you get wet at the end, but also there will be bioluminescent flowers and all throughout the land, and when you touch it the plant will respond to your touch. Who knows? But and then moving back to Universal, of course.
Okay.
We're getting Jimmy Fallon the ride.
Yeah, replacing Twister,
which is a real thing. If you want to ride Jimmy Fallon, Wow. Head down to Orlando in April.
There's a
Is it just a ride where he rides other celebrities' coattails?
Apparently.
Oh!
Ooh! Is it just a ride where he keeps reminding us he's friends with Justin Timberlake?
Oh!
I don't think so, honey. You know Jimmy Fallon's a friend of the show now.
Jimmy Fallon is a friend of the show for providing Henry Kapersky an opportunity to meet the First Lady Michelle Obama.
Okay, well.
So watch your mouth.
Jimmy Fallon did blackface.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
That is true.
Also, and never apologized for it because no one ever really cared.
And then brought back
on the internet,
and then,
nobody
and then brought
cares.
Back the Chris Rock impression at the Golden Globes. Okay, Chrissy, let's ask you the question.
Yeah, that was insane when he did that, though.
Yes. Chrissy, let's ask you the question we ask all our guests.
Mm-hmm.
What was the culture that made you figure out that culture was for you?
Yeah, what made you say culture? I might want to proceed into finding more about this culture.
Yes. Well, as a huge fan of the show, I did think about this question.
Oh. Okay, she came prepared.
In many of my culture moments had been taken, I will say.
That's okay. That isn't
that's okay. You can read.
But I have one that I am shocked you guys have never talked about on this show.
Power Rangers.
What is it?
No.
Okay.
Beast Wars.
Okay, let's keep guessing.
Pokemon Girl.
Well, who do you think I am?
Sailor Moon.
No.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Closer to who I might be, but.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Mm, very good. Loved her episode of Women's
Sabrina
World
the
where they
teenage
did the scream thing.
Witch.
Did love Sabrina the Teenage
I
Witch.
I love. No, so, tell us how
it's oh, okay, so the WB show that was on 99-2000, I put up a Facebook status about like 6 months. No, Seventh Heaven did not shake
me. Oh my God.
No.
I was
I
really
know.
Shaped by Happy the Dog and Simon huffing paint.
No, everyone was shaped by the title and Happy as Happy.
Wait, Everwood.
No,
she's gonna say
like an Everwood girl. What do you think it is?
Popular.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Ryan Murphy's Popular. I well, one I should say it was a huge TV on DVD girl like mm-hmm. that. What remember when that was like a huge
yeah.
thing?
Yeah.
When TV shows got on DVD, me right. and my mom would watch that website called TV Shows on DVD. Would have all the release dates for shows that would come out on DVD box sets. That is what you got for Christmas yeah. and birthdays is TV shows.
Yep.
At least for me, I got the Popular disc sets. Season one and season two. I also watched it when it was on WB. But,
real quick, box sets were so expensive. Keep going.
They
so
were. Expensive. Oh my God.
Yes.
And
for
the other
reason, like $45
right?
for like a season.
Forget it. The $85 for like the big long shows. For like the shows that were big and long.
For one season, you got $85?
Let me tell you something.
I'm calling
sometimes
you out, name
you,
it.
You would be shocked. How expensive some of these
probably
of these
Aaron Sorkin that asshole
Sorkin.
Is charging for every word
so popular.
popular Ryan Murphy show on the WB. Did either you guys watch it?
No,
I thought
it's the only
one
with Nip Tuck. No, it was actually pre
Nip Tuck. Before Nip Tuck,
right? I guess so.
And this is before I knew Ryan Murphy as a thing. It was this high school show mm-hmm. with this like ridiculous satire, but also. Like lived in the genre of a high school
yeah.
show, but then out of nowhere, there's a character called like Mary Cherry, and she's from Texas, and her mother is Delta Burke. Her name is Cherry Cherry. There's one episode where all the women get trapped in a bathroom. It's called Caged because they're all on their period, so they're all like
episode.
Freaking out together because they're all on their period, and they all reveal their secrets. Mary Cherry, played by Leslie Gross. Who's gone on to do nothing, which is a travesty. I mean, she pops up in some shows. She was on What I Like About You, that dumb Amanda Bynes show.
Oh,
that was
wow.
On
yeah,
Fridays.
Yep.
She was like a friend. They're all trapped. Comes out that this like one girl had webbed fingers and toes. Like that was a story
wow.
on the show. And they treat it with like such like cliche, not cliche. What's the word?
It seems
camp.
Like camp. It seems like a campy show about high school, which I feel like, or you know, you were saying it's like a satire in high school shows, which probably wasn't really lampooned up until then in the late 90s.
What did you just say?
Lampooned. He said it very strangely, but he said lampooned.
Excuse me. I speak multiple languages, so you were so. I this
he know, does. He speaks French and Mandarin.
I'm so surprised.
I'm
that
not
this,
surprised he speaks multiple languages. I'm surprised he's using that as an excuse.
That my tongue is maybe not suited to certain words when I say it very quickly.
Is that what you say on dates?
Yes,
I speak multiple languages, so my
tongue is
a
little fucked up,
a little crazy.
My tongue's a little crazy.
My tongue is crazy. I love this. I can't believe I didn't watch the show.
I still have the DVDs. Wow. I've sold almost every
if I ever
DVDs
get,
I've had. But
if
those.
I ever want to get horny real fast, okay. You can just go, you can search Nip Tuck. Because you know who I love?
Who?
Is the star of Nip Tuck. What's his name?
Julian something.
Yeah.
Julian something.
He,
is what he'll
I actually think, is super duper hot.
Yes, he is. And he that got whole it in show, on that show was sexy.
I know, it was really
just
sexy.
Just the feeling of that show is like, this is what sexy feels like as like a young person.
Ryan Murphy's pretty good at that. He's pretty good at capturing that like kind of like illicit feeling.
I will say Popular was not a sexy show. And one of the other things that shaped me culturally is the movie Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh, I love that movie.
100%.
Come on.
I think actually one of the best comedy movies of the
90s. What a stacked cast, too. You've got Amy Adams, Denise Richards.
Amy Adams in her first role.
Yeah.
In
her first role.
First role. And a casting call from that town that they shot in.
She was doing
dinner theater.
She was just a girl in Boulder doing dinner theater, Boulder, Colorado. And then she just like got it. And
now she's incredibly obnoxious. Like, look at her trajectory.
No.
Any one of us could be picked up in our little town and then become an incredibly obnoxious star.
You don't like Amy Adams.
I like watching her act.
I'm an Amy Adams apologist.
I love her. Her Vogue 73 questions was so charming.
Oh, I see. I haven't watched that because the only Vogue video that I watched was Taylor Swift's. And
oh,
I was
that's
like,
terrible.
What is this series that Vogue is doing? Where they, I just I was like, this
they're
is
they're mostly
awful.
Bad. They're mostly bad, but some of them, and they're completely scripted, but they try to play it off as if it's like in the moment. But
best part of Taylor Swift's Vogue 73 questions. Advice you'd give to a young singer. Get a good lawyer. Is what she says.
What a dumbass.
I love, well, this brings up another thing that you posted recently, Matt, on your, I won't say the word because you hate the site. that like photo series that the celebrities were doing of like, this is
so
my outer
stupid.
Life, this is my inner life. I really hate when celebrities give like little hints that my life is really hard.
Yeah. Secretly behind this, I'm just insecure and really a lot like you.
No.
And would you believe that someone actually came for me after posting that and said,
oh my God.
And said, oh, Matt, I hope that you become famous one day and you hate it. And
who said that to you? Was it fucking Anne Hathaway? Who said that to you?
No,
you don't have to name names.
I won't name names. I'll just say
names,
the person is no longer my Facebook friend, and I've never been happier.
Amazing.
Just a toxic person.
I don't care if for you coming to the defense of celebrities, if they don't have a sense of humor about themselves. For me, one of the biggest requirements for you as a person living your life is you gotta have a sense of humor about yourself. So when Anne Hathaway is up there like, okay, cool, yes, I'm gonna do this project where I show my inner self and it's gonna be miserable because I want everyone to know that like really deep down I'm very insecure. It's like, you know what, Anne Hathaway, we could guess that. We're people too. Like, we don't need you grandstanding about it. It's my biggest problem with like those people. Like, I get what you're saying about Amy Adams because like she also did that in that photo series.
Yeah, I think that was my start to being like,
and
I
was so
like
disappointed with that because I'm like, God, please have a sense of humor about yourself. Like, have
she seems
fun with
like
this.
She does.
I'm sure
in
she
her
does.
Work, she seems like she does.
Yeah, I'm I think sure. I don't know. I also think, you know, the thing is with Anne Hathaway is you consistently get the feeling that she doesn't have a sense of humor about herself.
Mm-hmm.
But with Amy Adams, I had never seen that before, so I was disappointed. But I just think there's nothing funnier than people who take themselves so seriously.
I know.
Like, it's just so it's so messed up.
By funny, you mean not funny.
Well, I mean, I feel bad for them because obviously, like, they don't have, like, humor in their lives and they're not able to see themselves, like, and then, like, have a laugh about it. Like, obviously, they've got some other issues to work out.
Right,
like, and
right.
that sucks. I feel bad for them. But also, like, if we're going to have to look at you all day, every day in the media, like, don't expect me not to be like, I'm going to poke fun at this because lighten up.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's fair. Matt and I went to Philly this weekend and we listened to two full Lady Gaga albums in the car ride down there.
Okay.
And the conclusion that we reached as a car was she is great because she is so goofy, does not take herself seriously, but also takes herself so seriously at times that it's easy to make fun of. I think she knows that about herself.
I also think, like, what I'm saying is, like, it's an ebb and a flow. Like, Amy Adams, she might have had a weird day that day and was like, I'm actually going to really give in to this, like, indulgent part of my personality and do this weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think Gaga has had parts of her career where she does take herself super seriously and she doesn't succeed and her fans aren't as excited about it because we can see that's happening.
Right.
And then other times, like, when it's more joyful and fun and you're actually just doing what you're put on this earth to do, which is to entertain and to, like, you know, make everyone happy and feel emotion. Like, that's what you're supposed to
All do. I'm saying is one time she was in Paris and the paparazzi were hounding her. And so she put a bedsheet over her face and then pretended to be a ghost and said, woo.
Love it.
I love that.
And
I love that.
That's unimpeachable. You cannot hold anything against her. Anyway.
But I will say there is something that, and I noticed this during the Golden Globes, that I feel like young celebrities especially feel like they need to manufacture a humorous personality for themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I'm just remembering from when I was a kid and watching award shows, like, I don't remember like Halle Berry or like Julia Roberts, like trying to have this outer personality of being quirky.
Yeah.
It feels like this is something we are now asking of our younger, like, Hollywood A-listers, like Emma Stone and Chris Pratt. And mm-hmm. I love them and they mm-hmm. are like probably humorous people, mm-hmm. but it seems like something we are expecting of them now.
Yeah, you gotta be able to kill it on a talk show.
Exactly. And now you like can't really be an Anne Hathaway where it's like, no, I am just like a talented actor and I am probably a little crazy. Just don't let me speak in public. Like, let me just like read a teleprompter.
Right.
I like Anne Hathaway's work. I just think, like, you know, she was probably asked to do that project. And she she has the ability to say no to it.
Mm-hmm.
If the notoriety and the limelight makes her so miserable and like all this stuff, if that's true, then she didn't have to do this.
Exactly. She probably thought it would be very meaningful. She probably thought she would reach so many young girls.
But also, like, fuck that photographer too. Who, like, I'm sure he came in with that idea and thought it was so novel and genius.
I know.
But then parts of it were fun. I mean, you saw the one that Taraji.
Oh, that one.
And
it was amazing.
Fun. I mean, there were a lot of opportunities there to have fun with that project. And I don't care. I don't really care to see, like, just so you know, like, my real life is like, I am just like you, and I do sit in the dark.
Real
like,
quick.
I don't care.
I'm just I sit in the dark.
Yeah, I understand. I get it.
Sit in the dark.
I know you're a human being.
Real quick, let's just do both of our poses right now to each other, and we'll just describe them to our listeners.
Okay. Bowen, you're first.
Bowen, how does the world see you?
This is my outer life.
He's smiling.
He's smiling, and one of his shoulders is popped forward, and he's got both hands
and he's
flat,
like,
on the table.
And he's looking up.
Okay, yeah. And then
and what is the real you?
Oh, he's like a little mime,
like a French mime, and my
he's trapped in a box.
My mouth is going,
a perfect. His mouth is a perfect circle.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And it's almost like he's looking ahead. It's almost like he's about to get hit by a car.
Ooh, yeah,
I look like I just walked into a room that said surprise.
Yes, but you kind of knew it was.
But I kind
happen.
Of knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now I'll do me.
Matt?
This is how I think the world sees me.
Outer life.
Oh, just brilliant, brimming.
Over one shoulder.
Okay, this is very, Matt can vouch for this. This is very Taylor Swift on the 1989 World Tour, her first number, Welcome to New York. It ends, and then she turns, and then the song ends on a beat, and then she, right on time, just tosses her hair back and looks to the audience right behind her shoulder, just like that.
It was very good. Okay.
I'm doing the Taylor Swift finale, and I know that's how you all see me.
I do see you as a Taylor Swift finale.
And now, who am I really inside?
Okay,
he's thinking, like, no, it sounds like he's thinking of the pose. No, his pose is thinking. He almost looks maniacal.
He looks like he wants to telepathically move something.
But he's like happy about it. Yeah, okay, now he's motioning for us to describe his face more.
No,
so,
his eyes are very strained.
He's smiling. It seems like he's trying to make his veins pop out of his forehead.
Yeah, I don't like this.
I don't know what. It seems like he wants us to say a certain thing about his face, and we're not getting it right.
No, you guys were good.
That's good. Okay, and that describes how you feel on the inside?
Yes.
Okay, Chrissy,
like
your turn.
Like a maniacal face thinker.
Okay.
A maniacal face thinker. Okay, my turn. My outer life.
Here we go. Oh,
whoa.
Shit. So basically, this is how everyone sees Chrissy. She is fucking chill as fuck. She's got two peace signs up, but also the peace signs are not like, she's
like loose deuces.
They're loose deuces. She's giving loose deuces. She's looking down at the table, and she's basically like got a little smirk on.
She's like,
fucking
chill as fuck.
Chilling. Chill as fuck.
Okay, and now inner life. Let's see it.
What's your inner life?
Oh, she's putting her hood
on. She's putting her hood on. And
she's covering her face with her hands.
She literally did what Anne Hathaway and Amy Adams would do. She's covering her face.
You are part
face.
Of the problem,
She
Chrissy.
Looks like a crazy ass ghost.
My inner life is nobody look at me.
that's accurate.
See, but and now I'm seeing a different side to this whole Amy Adams, Anne Hathaway thing, is maybe they thought it would be funny.
Oh, like maybe they thought they were ironic and
maybe,
above it?
Yes, maybe they thought they were commenting on the comment they always get, which is you take yourself too seriously, but I doubt it.
I don't know. Then somebody should have been there to be like, and this doesn't read.
Oh, yeah.
This doesn't read. Okay. Tell me your intention does not read.
We're talking about the women in this shoot, but also, can we talk about how bullshit it was when John Legend's two things were identical, which I don't know if that's a comment, but like, John, give us something.
Can I tell you something? John Legend, I didn't sign up for John Legend as like the personality.
Me neither.
And all of a sudden we're
getting... Same with Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah. Well,
she has my name. I like her, but she has my name, and that really is screwing up my chances in the modeling industry.
In the modeling, like, funny tweet industry.
Ugh. I'm a big John Legend fan. I love John Legend's music. I just feel like, I don't know, like, why all of a sudden are they like these...
Why are you forcing John Legend down our throats?
It feels like that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And their relationship especially, like any celebrity couple, especially, I feel like this has been happening a lot with Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell, is like...
Oh, so many news.
I like them, and I like them both, and I like them as a couple, and I like their work.
Yes. Yeah.
But I feel like Refinery 29, which I really like, it just, I see so many like relationship goals, things like that. And I'm like, I don't need relationship goals.
They've just been together for a long time. I think they genuinely love each other.
No. And I'm not mad. You guys are coming for me.
You hate Dax Shepard.
I guess I'm just saying I never want to see like relationship goals. I actually love Dax Shepard. Been a huge Dax fan
since Punk'd.
You gotta be a Dax
been
fan.
A
did not
fan
like Without Paddle.
Oh, right. Without a Paddle.
Wait, so Dax Shepard was on Punk'd with Caitlin O'Connor, right?
Who is
Caitlin O'Connor? From Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the blonde.
Is that her last name, O'Connor?
She was in...
Caitlin Olsen.
She was in Punk'd?
I didn't know she was on Punk'd. Maybe that was a later season that
she was definitely on Punk'd. She definitely was.
Nothing more iconic than Justin Timberlake crying.
Yes.
Was that Dax that was on that did that Punk'd?
You know, I can't remember prank. I just can't because I was watching Jamie Kennedy Experiment at the same time.
Oh, wow. We're back on culture. Yep. Okay.
We're back on culture. Well, here's another thing I want to talk about. I have a lot of trickle down culture is what I'll call it. I'll pull a little Hillary Clinton. I want to
talk about this.
Trumped up trickle down culture. Do you want to add it to your lexicon of culture words?
Okay.
Is as a youngest sibling, I feel like you get trickle down culture from your siblings.
Yes.
And I have an older brother, and he would sometimes just give me movies on DVD, and be like, or like go rent things, and be like, watch this, because he wanted me to be, in his eyes, cool.
Yes.
So I watched a lot of like PCU. Do you remember that movie with like Jeremy Piven? He was like, this is the precursor to Old School. And I was like, okay.
Oh,
and then I watched like Old School or I'm trying to remember the like biggest one. But
thoughts on Jeremy Piven.
Thoughts on Jeremy Piven. You know what? A few years ago, he had that whole thing if he had to back out of a movie because he had mercury poisoning or something.
It was Speed the Plow on Broadway.
Speed the Plow.
Yeah. And I didn't believe it. So since then, I've been like, you get mercury poisoning? Who the hell are you, Jeremy Piven?
The tiniest window in which I loved him was when he was in Scary Movie 3.
Don't you think he's hot?
I think he's so hot.
I think he's so hot.
He's very short and I'm very tall, so I can't even comment.
Well,
I like him in the movie
Serendipity. There's something about him where I think Jeremy Piven is like really attractive.
All right.
Is it because of Entourage? Because I watched all seasons of Entourage and had those boxes.
I think it might be. Because I remember watching
and
him.
And I
like,
know it's problematic.
Walk around and scream, and I'm like, oh God, I don't know. I'm attracted to that guy.
Okay. Matt, I'm just going to point out Matt is feeling a certain way. Because he's commented on just like men and placing value on them based on their looks. Jeremy Piven, the guy from Nip Tuck. And I think this is a theme and I think we should talk about this. Matt, what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
I just have a type, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I happen to think those two, which you said the words Jeremy Piven and for like, I don't know. I do. Do you know what it is? And here's what it is.
Yeah.
Because... At the
He's
height,
figured it out.
I did
He's
just
figured
figure
it out.
Out.
What is this?
At the height of my hormones raging,
mm-hmm.
The two of them were stars of shows.
Yeah,
that's what it is. So now I have an association.
Yeah, this, of course. Yes.
We've drilled down to the core of culture, which is it's like what Lorne Michaels says about SNL cast. People's favorite SNL caster when they were in high school.
That's actually interesting because whenever anyone asks for like my top five, like when who's your top five celebrity crushers or like guys that
oh
are
like the ones
your
on your
five.
List that like if you were meant to that celebrity and that celebrity wanted to bang you
yeah,
who could
right.
you cheat on your partner
all
with?
From your teen years
my number one is always going to be Justin Timberlake.
Wow, okay. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that
I
either.
I love Justin, and I love Chris Pine.
I'm not surprised, but...
okay. Chris Pine, though, didn't really break out until
I know,
college.
He transcends.
Oh, wow.
I always get Chris Pine and Chris Evans confused in that, like, I know the differences, but I have to actively think of both of their faces for me to distinguish them in my brain. Chris
That's
Pine.
Fair. Mm. It's insane how many leading men that are all just handsome white dudes named Chris. It's like such a joke.
Yeah.
It's such a joke to me. It's like, we need more handsome white men named Chris in film.
I was thinking about this today, in fact, because...
Joel Kim Booster's tweet. Are you referenced that or no?
No. What did he tweet?
He tweeted... I'm going to try to get this. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. He goes, this was a real puzzle, but... Chris Evans is Carrie. Chris Hemsworth is Samantha. Chris Pine is Miranda. And Chris Pratt is Charlotte. Which I think
I would need to unpack it a little bit more.
Sure. But what were you going to reference?
Oh, because you texted me and was like, "Who is Tom Everett Scott?" Because my Instagram handle is now Tom Everett Scott.
Yes.
We're very confused. We're like, "Who is this Tom Everett Scott?"
I knew it was
Everett Scott
from that thing you do.
It's the guy from that thing you do.
Never seen it.
And I changed it to him recently because I saw La La Land, and mm-hmm. he comes in at the end as Emma Stone's husband.
Spoiler.
But also this year, spoiler, go see La La Land. He comes in. He was in the MTV series Scream this year as one of the high schoolers' fathers, and I thought it was so comical to see Tom Everett Scott in an MTV show, and then to see him in this Oscar probably nominated movie. And I was thinking about, he's one of those, like, I'm happy that he is one of those white men in Hollywood that started as a leading man in That Thing You Do and has now been relegated to what most women in the industry are. They're like, he appears in like a Private Practice episode,
right?
You know, he didn't go on to have a leading role. He's just like, I do cameos on shows.
Right.
Yeah.
That's more common.
I'm feeling like something I said before is unclear and I just want to clarify.
Oh my God.
I just, cause now this is like getting to me. I just want to say, it's important to have a sense of humor about yourself. If you're in the public eye and you don't have a sense of humor about yourself, I have no time.
Well,
and that's what that is.
It's the thing that, like, RuPaul says, you know, like, watching Wizard of Oz, like, the world is fake. And once you, like, realize, like, the world is a joke, then you can, like, live in it easier.
Yes.
I'm butchering whatever.
No, that's the heart of it.
It is an important thing to remember.
You have to have a sense of humor about it all because it's all fucked up.
I agree. And that's why I like Emma Stone.
I like Emma Stone.
Can I
too.
Tell you why I like Emma Stone today?
Okay. Because he has a new reason every single day. He has an Emma Stone word of the day calendar.
Oh,
he flips it.
This is why when people come for Emma Stone, I'm like, but she's actually cool. So basically, you know how like there's the movement of like ask her more on the red carpet about the dresses?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Ryan Seacrest, I guess the other day, asked Emma Stone, tell me about your dress. And Emma Stone goes, well, okay, it's pink and has stars on it. And I thought that was funny.
That's
and then
cute.
she didn't say anything more about it.
Yeah, I'm sure she seems like a great person. It's just Matt and I saw 20th Century Women yesterday, and now
I got to see.
The more I think about it,
it's
great
really
movie.
Good.
The more I think about it, the more I'm like, "Oh, it sucks that Emma's going to get the Oscar and someone like Annette Bening who has never been awarded."
Has she never?
Never been given an Oscar. But that's not Emma Stone's
fault.
It's
not her fault, but it's also, I don't know.
Well, I think that it's the fault of awards.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Like, there are so many different movies there's so many different types of movies this season. To, like, compare them next to each other is almost impossible. Because it's, like, I thought Moonlight should have won directing at the Golden Globes.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean I don't think La La Land was directed poorly.
No.
They're completely two different movies to me. So to like compare them to each other is...
I get why we have like the Oscar system that we have, because it's exciting for people to watch and see who wins and the competition
God,
and everything.
Yeah.
But can I tell you what I think would be like the best way to do it?
What?
Is to like say, okay, we're going to have the Oscars. Everyone from all the movies are going to be invited. Like, we're going to invite everyone. It's going to be a celebration of film. And no one knows what's going to happen at the Oscars. And then, throughout the show, there's, like, five different points where they give out, like, an award for a special achievement. And that way, there's no competition. There's no best actress. No one has to feel bad because they were worse. It's just, no one even knows that they're nominated. You just get invited to the show. You show up. And then it's like... throughout the show, there's not even any qualifications for what's going to be given out. It's like, these were the five achievements that we feel deserved this award. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, if you want to give Annette Bening an award, she gets one. And Emma Stone could get one too. You know what I mean?
Seems very socialist.
I just feel like, who needs
this participation trophy millennial conversation?
Wow. No, because not everyone gets one. In fact, less people get.
Snowflake.
You know what?
In fact, liberal snowflake. Tommy Lauren is my virgin Mary. How dare you?
Tommy Lauren, who today said, why aren't we praising the white people who helped end slavery? Okay, let's keep going.
I don't know. You because, know what? I think about that every day. I wake up and I'm like, the white people don't get thanked
actually,
enough.
No, we like talk about fucking what's his face? John Brown all the fucking time. But was he white? I don't know.
She's a fucking snowflake.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about needing attention.
Anyway.
I can't with her. She's from my hometown. And so
oh, she's from your hometown.
No, no. She's from technically somewhere else. She lives in Dallas, and that's where they filmed The Blaze.
Oh,
and
I
am famously from Texas.
I don't even know.
I don't know. I just feel like it's bullshit, the competition thing, because at the root of it is like a needing to be the best and like other, make other people feel bad. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I think we should do away with the whole thing.
Wow.
I don't necessarily think it's like better when they have like 10 nominees for best picture because it's silly.
Yeah.
Not all those.
Well,
are...
And also like sometimes an animated movie gets put in there and you're like, these movies are so different to compare them to each other and to choose which one is better is insane. That being said, I love award shows.
I mean,
I watch them
me too.
Every time I print out my ballot, I pick who's going to win.
Mm-hmm. Print it out.
So
yeah,
let's talk
ballot,
about that.
Fill it out.
Talk about what?
Let's talk about what. So you've seen La La Land.
Yes, I've seen La La Land. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you like it very much.
I did like it. Yeah. Come for me.
And would you vote for it for Best Picture?
What else? I don't know what else is going to
have
be
you seen Moonlight?
Yes, I loved Moonlight.
Okay, so, and you've seen Manchester by the Sea?
I have not seen Manchester by the Sea.
Man, is it depressing.
Well, that's what I hear.
No interesting thing.
And I don't like Casey Affleck that much. And
I mean, no, who does?
I mean, I think many people.
That's so insane.
I think
to me.
Many brooding men love Casey Affleck and would herald that as an amazing performance. And probably it is. I just haven't seen it. And
it's
I don't
really...
care to, but I probably will at some point because I like seeing all the movies that are nominated, you know?
I don't know. I feel I agree with. I did see it, and it's just shocking to me that like he's won everything. Because to me, that must mean like there just might not be a lot of excellence out there besides him. Because mm-hmm. while I thought it was good, it wasn't this like, you know, the way I feel about Oscars is like you should give something an Oscar if like the performer truly elevated the material and did something that almost no one else could do. That's mm-hmm. when I feel like something deserves an Oscar. And I didn't see that with that performance. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it
that goes
wasn't
into
signature to me.
My castable theory. Mm-hmm. I put up on Facebook. Devil Wears Prada is the
most well-castable.
Oh, okay. Explain this.
I agree. No, explain it.
Now people were bringing other movies to my attention and I am taking that into consideration. But what my criteria was, if any other person did this, would the movie work or would the movie be as good? And I do not think Devil Wears Prada would be as good if specifically Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci were not in it.
And Emily Blunt.
And Emily Blunt is on my list. But if you have to narrow it down to two, I think Meryl and Tucci really make that film, those performances. And if there were other people in those roles, it would not work.
I feel like with Tucci, like Alan, what's his face, could have been great.
Alan Cummings.
Alan Cummings would have been perfect.
I was going to say Alan Tudyk.
Or Alan Tudyk. Yeah, Alan Tudyk. Hot,
I feel like
funny guy.
A lot of people could have done the Tucci role. I disagree with you there. However, okay. I think Meryl Streep, it's very hard to
It comes down to
that.
Meryl and Emily Blunt for me in that movie.
And that's fair. Emily Blunt is also on my list.
Yes. And I think that Meryl Streep was nominated for the Oscar for that movie the same year as Helen Mirren won for The Queen.
Yes.
I'm almost positive I'm
anything
right.
Anything with Queen Elizabeth is like
award.
Meryl showed up
bait.
To the Oscar in like a chunky necklace and like pants and like, God bless her, and like a fucking like surgical scrubs. Like she did not give a shit. Mm-hmm. She was just there to have a good time.
She was an extra on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just think we need to be just because someone cries a lot or like does this like, I guess like dramatic heavy lifting thing. You got to think like, okay, but could any trained actor or actress have done this? And probably for many of these performances that win an Oscar, the answer is probably yes. But you're not thinking about like the kinds of choices Meryl had to make to create that character of Miranda Priestly for herself, despite it being very well drawn in the novel and the screenplay. Mm-hmm. Like, that is true comedic excellence.
Yeah.
Like creating that character. That's true, amazing film acting. And
she has so many important lines in that film that she delivers under her breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a choice, you know? And another actor would like do the actor thing of like, I'm looking you in the eyes and I'm delivering this sincere, like harshly, but she's just like, I'm walking around, I'm like busy, I'm doing it under my breath, blah, blah, blah.
My favorite line that she delivers under her breath in that movie is, and if you don't have that Harry Potter book, don't even bother
coming back.
And then she's like looking down and then does like a slight cock of the head at her desk.
Yes.
I don't know exactly.
Like imagine getting the script for Devil Wears Prada and you're the actress. How many actresses that go in and audition for that say that's all, like, that's all? You know what I mean?
That's
like
all.
Exactly.
No one does.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yes.
Nobody does it except Meryl.
Or
which makes the character lived in, and not a caricature.
100%.
Or when she sees the steak and she goes, "What is this?
I don't want this."
And then Anne Hathaway throws a plate of steak. You're
right.
Into
so dramatic.
She throws.
Anne Hathaway is great in that movie too.
Yeah. She is really good. The plate breaks in the sink.
Yes.
I will never forget just steak being thrown
into the
sink.
I would have eaten
so
it.
Upset.
It
also,
was a beautiful steak.
My favorite, one of my favorite lines, besides the whole cerulean monologue.
Yeah.
My favorite is, "Yes, by all means, move at a glacial pace. That you know how that thrills me."
Yeah,
I love.
Or florals for spring, groundbreaking.
And Emily Blunt, one of her most amazing lines is...
"I'm just one stomach flu away from my goal weight."
That, I mean, that's good. That's just a well-written line.
Yeah.
Or, I love my job.
Or when she's okay. when Anne Hathaway needs to go into the next room and it cuts to Emily Blunt and she just goes... Like she just snaps with her hand,
go,
bitch.
Yeah. My favorite is when she like she's at her desk typing and she sees Andy, the Hannah Hathaway character, and is like, "Where have you been? Some hideous skirt convention?" And then she laughs at her own
joke.
So
funny.
I love that.
Can I tell you amazing, amazing performances? And you know what? Now that we're talking about it, maybe one of the best cast movies, like at least of the past 20 years.
Thank you.
I will say also Mean Girls. I think that a performance that should have been nominated for an Oscar is Rachel McAdams.
Oh, of course that.
Like, Gretchen was incredible,
Gretchen was incredible.
It's a shame that that girl isn't a huge star now. Lacey
I know.
Chabert.
I think she had the curse of being a child star.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Party of Five.
Party of Five.
I think that monologue, the Caesar monologue, is so good. And also...
Like the gold tubes, the white gold tubes.
The white gold hoops. And
did you do that for your like high school auditions?
Oh, I wish I had.
So good.
But also Rachel McAdams in Mean Girls, like the character of Regina, like that defined high school bitches.
Yes, and
you
that's another role that like any other actress auditioning for that would have read so like too literally or too on the nose, and she just mutters things under her breath and it's perfect.
And an amazing, I can't remember what years they came out, but your first introduction to Rachel McAdams is The Notebook. And then all of a sudden you see this bitch in Mean Girls and you're like, okay.
I believe The Notebook came out after Mean Girls.
Okay.
Within several months of each other, and they were both hitting at the same time.
And you're like, okay, this girl is a star. It is a shame to me that Rachel McAdams is not a star, because I love her performance in the problematic movie, The Family Stone. I think she's so good in that. And she's so good in Mean Girls. She's so good in The Notebook.
Matt and I have a favorite line from The Family Stone.
Let's hear
which
it.
Is Sarah Jessica Parker goes,
"Look, I don't care if you like me or not." And Rachel McAdams goes, "Oh,
of course you do. Of course you do." No, my first exposure to Rachel McAdams was that Rob Schneider movie, The Hot Chef.
That was her first thing.
But she was like not great in that. But like, she did like a perfectly acceptable job, and she had to like play.
She committed
to like the Freaky Friday Rob Schneider thing.
I feel like we were all captive to Rob Schneider's career, and that everyone thought we had to see movies that Rob Schneider made,
but
and
now,
nobody wanted to. But we all saw Deuce Bigelow, and we all saw The Hot Chick.
Yeah.
Did you say steak? No, I said mistake. Oh man, you got me all excited.
Oh,
I used
to
think
when they make
that
joke about that like overweight woman, how she like can't press the buttons on her phone. It's so funny. It's so funny.
Also,
that
Deuce
was
Bigelow,
comedy.
Male Gigolo, was Amy Poehler making fun of a person with Tourette's.
Oh, wait, was she Tourette's or was
Tourette's.
She narcolepsy?
Tourette's. She would just be like, "Check that motherfucker!" At like the baseball game. That was Amy Poehler.
Okay, yes. Different but there time. Was also a girl with narcolepsy.
Yeah,
right?
who like fell asleep in her soup, and then he had to tie her ponytail to the banister so she didn't like drown in her own soup.
Oh, God.
That was comedy then.
Oh, my God. And we all watched those movies. That's the thing. As high schoolers, you are just a slave to what's in the movie theater. Yeah, because that's what
Adam
you do
Sandler is such a fucking
on weekends.
Thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rachel McAdams, though.
We're all pretty much the same age. Do you remember when there was like horror movies were like back?
Yes, like House of Wax with Chad Michael Murray and Paris Hilton.
When Paris Hilton fucked Cousin Skeeter.
The puppet?
No, the cousin.
What?
What are you talking about? Because Cousin Skeeter was a show on Nickelodeon about a puppet.
The boy in it. Not the puppet, the boy.
Well, the boy is not Cousin Skeeter.
Oh,
Cousin
I didn't
Skeeter
know.
Is the puppet.
Pretty funny to think about Paris Hilton fucking a puppet, though, right?
She probably is. I would love to see Paris Hilton guest on The Muppet Babies.
Yes.
Who am I going to fuck here? Look at that little baby animal. Oh my God. It's low-hanging fruit to make fun of Paris Hilton.
Not really.
But also, no.
She's DJing in Ibiza right now, making 10K off 10 minutes of bullshit.
Is she DJing now?
She's a fucking DJ
now. She voted
now.
For Trump. So.
No, she did.
Did she?
She did.
Absolutely did.
Do you
How
know,
do you know
did
that?
Did she tweet or you just assume?
No, I think she... Like, there was some report out. I mean, it might have been fake news, but I believe it. Fuck, if some fucking asshole in, like, middle America believes anything, then I'll believe anything, too.
Are you a horror movie person, Bo?
No, I don't care for him.
And you are not a horror movie because they scare you.
Oh, my God, Matt's so scared.
Were you?
You love horror movies?
I'll tell you this about myself. I loved going to a horror movie with a group of friends. Maybe there's some guys there and acting real scared when I was not. Yeah. That was me in high school.
Such a high school, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I even remember in college one time being so drunk and on the bus back, we went to Dirty Six and you had to take the e-bus is what it was called.
Holy shit.
Back to campus. And being on the bus and the lights kept going out on the bus and I was making out with this guy. I was sitting on his lap and every time the lights went out, I would be like, I'm scared of the dark. And he was like, "Are you?" And he was like, "Are you serious?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's this weird thing about me. I'm scared of the dark.
It's like a thing with only me. I get really scared when it's dark.
I'm really scared of the dark,
and I need someone to put their hands on my shoulder."
Yep, that's what I did. I all up and down his body.
Did you guys go see Saw in the movie theater?
No.
No, I haven't seen the Saw movies, I will say.
Okay, this first Saw is really good, and this is like what got my friends onto horror movies, and inside I was like, fuck, this has to be every weekend now, because once that movie came out, all of a sudden, horror movie after horror movie after horror movie.
Yeah. Like,
The Grudge came out.
Mm-hmm. The Grudge. Oh, you know what? I fucking hated was the remake of The Hills Have Eyes where they fucking like rape a pregnant
Emily
woman.
Duravin. From
oh
Lost.
Yeah, from
Claire
Lost,
from
right?
Lost gets raped
in
by
a trailer
mutant.
By a mutant, and
it's
then
horrible.
Like the father gets impaled on a tree and burned a lot. Like it's just like
porn.
It's just torture porn, but like it's so bad. Like I fucking hate horror movies. You know what? It's not that I don't care for them; it's that I really dislike them. But not in the same way that Matt dislikes them. Is that like it's like I just don't like you know,
they offend you.
They offend me because it's like why am I watching them?
I hate violence. I don't like it. I don't respond to it.
Yeah.
That's fair. I don't like horror movies now. They're just not interesting to me. If you can make like a really interesting horror movie, I'll probably be into it. But I'm not like going to go and see
right.
a horror movie.
Right. Oh, my God. My worst date ever was.
Let's hear.
Was a few years ago.
Does it have something to do with culture?
It has something to do with horror movies, which are unfortunately part of culture.
Okay. So, I just want to keep you on. I just want to keep you guys on track.
Okay, police.
Okay. So anyway.
Woo, woo, woo. First Those date were with, my sirens earlier.
First date with this guy was the week of Hurricane Sandy. And we're walking down Eastern Parkway, down like a ravaged wasteland of Brooklyn. And it was kind of romantic.
Oh, huh.
So
oh
he told
my God, how many pictures did you guys take next to like a lamp pole that was a little
trees that were just like completely just destroyed.
Don't worry, we're okay.
He told me his name was like fucking Patrick or something, and I was like, great. And what? Then the second
was it something different than that?
Okay, so then it was a great first date. We just took a walk, we kissed, that was it. And then like about a month later, we go on our second date, and then he wants to take me to see this movie, The Collective or The Collection or something. It's the same people who made the Saw, produced the Saw movies. It's some bullshit like paper thin, like it's like it has no depth to it at all. It's a bullshit horror movie. And within 20 minutes, I was like, I don't want to watch this. And we left the theater. And he was very nice in saying, oh, yeah, let's not watch this. But it was his idea to go take me there. And then he just, like, in a tense moment, he was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, my name is Lamar. And I was like, okay, well, we're done.
What? Wait. You gave
why? Did he explain why he lied?
No, because he was afraid of, like, the internet. And he was afraid of, like, people finding out who he, like, I don't know.
I don't like this movie, like, I think this is over, so I need to be... You don't like this horror movie, so I'm going to be real with you. My name is Lamar,
That might have been it. I just truly, to this day, don't understand, like, what was going through his head to, A, like...
Maybe he thought,
and B, lie. Like, on the first date, first pass. So anyway.
Maybe he thought you were so real that you couldn't even get through this fake-ass movie that he was like, I can't be fake with this person who's so genuine.
Yes.
That's probably what he thought.
That's definitely what he thought. Yep.
I'm trying to think of a movie I've walked out of.
Oh, Bowen and I walked out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, come for us.
I fell asleep during it. I went back to watch it again, not in a theater. And right. I was like, it's fun.
Well, the thing about Guardians of the Galaxy is it's not good. And if you think it's good, you're wrong.
Come for us.
Can I say something about A Monster Calls, this new Felicity Jones movie, who did not have a great run of it at Saturday Night Live this past weekend? But that Monster Calls movie, that's Groot, that big tree man that Liam Neeson is voicing.
Oh my god,
is just looks exactly like Groot. Like, how are you gonna make this movie and we're not gonna compare it to
you
Groot?
Know big tree things are having a moment right now.
Groot, mm-hmm.
the guy from Stranger Things,
but I didn't finish Stranger Things.
Redwoods.
Mm-hmm. Come for me. I didn't really like Stranger Things.
Okay, interesting.
Come for me. Didn't finish the series. I know you didn't watch because you thought it was too scary. Matt,
I liked it. I enjoyed it. Tell me. Explain.
I don't know.
Was it Wynonna?
No, I loved Wynonna. Yeah, you did. Like you say Wynonna like she's Wynonna Judd when she's Wynonna, right?
Wynonna. Is that? Do you think she'd correct me? That's what matters to me. Would Wynonna correct me?
With yes. a big hobo bag and a cardigan holding a coffee? Yeah, she'd be like, it's Wynonna, actually.
All right, ready? Who's the better Wynonna? Wynonna Judd or Wynonna Ryder?
Oh my god, no contest. Ryder.
Wow.
Interesting.
I bet all the Trump voters would disagree.
Wynonna Judd.
Yeah.
Well, right. Who's the better Judd? Wynonna Judd or Ashley Judd? Because I have my answer locked and loaded.
I would say, based on what you've said so far, because of the popularity of all those Ashley Judd movies that were like thrillers around the time when you were a teen.
Yes.
Probably Ashley
Judd. I didn't ask for you to guess, and you are correct. It is Ashley Judd.
Would have been a Senator Ashley Judd had she won her Senate race.
No, she went for Senate.
She went for Senate in, I think, Virginia, I want to say.
Wait, I did not know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
And I was like really rooting for her. And probably not. But it was like, it was right after Clay Aiken ran for Senate in North Carolina. And
do you think Clay Aiken running for Senate is the reason Trump is president?
I mean, oh, you thought he was like, well, he's doing it, so why not? I feel like Franken is the reason.
Or Gary Coleman. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What office did Gary Coleman serve
in? When everyone was running for governor of California. He didn't serve
yeah,
anything.
He was running, yeah.
I'm sure Arnold Schwarzenegger has a lot to do with Trump.
Probably. Yeah. How do you guys feel about Jesse Alaska Ventura posing for, she was on Apprentice. Alaska Thunderfuck. I just saw her tweet something of like, I post on this thing for posing on a motorcycle ad for Apprentice NBC hashtag Team Carson, because Carson Kressley's on.
Oh my god.
Oh wow. I don't know. I really funny. Don't know what to think about the whole Apprentice thing right now, because it's weird. Donald Trump was tweeting about, well, the fucking ratings tanked with Arnold Schwarzenegger. That sucks. And then Katie Couric mentioned, which I thought was a good point, isn't he the executive producer of that show still? Yeah. And why is he shit-talking his own show?
So that little Twitter fight with Arnold, I feel like, because Arnold staged. Just tweeted back. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Arnold tweeted back, like, well,
Fake news.
He was like, I hope you serve our country well.
You know what? That's 100% what it is. Trump was like, you know what? We're going to have a little Twitter feud because the people fucking love it. And I was watching Biden on The View the other day, and one of them asked him, he had the whole episode they had Biden on, and they asked him, like, why do you think, because his point was, like, you know, no one ever heard Hillary's plans. It was all, she was always on the defensive, it was this whatever. And they were like, what went wrong? Why didn't we ever get to hear Hillary? Why didn't we ever hear about her plans for, like, everyone getting free college, et cetera, et cetera? And he was like, look, you got the media, and they have two options. They're going to report on Hillary's plans for everyone to get free college, or they're going to report on Donald Trump says grab him by the pussy. You can only really put all your resources on one. Which one are you going to pick? You pick the fucking Donald Trump grab him by the pussy thing. And so you couldn't ever hear the positive aspects of what Hillary had because it was so inundated with this Trump nonsense, whatever it was. And so really, like, she never actually stood a chance because this is the first election we've ever had, which was in the age of social media where you can just fucking totally flood everyone's feeds with this stuff. Mm-hmm. And all you're ever talking about is Trump. And when you're the star of the election, I'm not surprised he did win at the end because who was the big star of this election? Donald Trump. Like he was all over the news and was never not. For the past 2 years, he's never not been in the news.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it kind of makes sense that you couldn't get a word in edgewise.
And this just goes to show you that Matt Rogers still gets a lot of his really truly deep, yes, yeah, truly deep political analyses from the View.
Yeah,
which is great. Okay,
loves
guys,
loves
The View, guys. We're running out of time. Let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Oh my god!
Oh my gosh! Wow, that's insane.
This just flew
I'm
by.
So sad. I don't know if my episode is worth the hype. I'm just gonna say my insecurities are out.
No, it's worth. It's 100% worth the hype. What is going on?
I don't know. I feel like we haven't come up with any catchphrases in the show. You know,
we haven't come up with plenty.
We haven't taken down.
Well, here we go. So now this podcast is becoming very self-aware, and I honestly would throw bone to the wolves right now, and I'd say, how dare you?
How dare I what?
How dare you start this show
talking about catchphrases?
Stocking up on all of our catchphrases. You self-indulgent
honey,
piece of shit.
Look, this is what I posted last night, and
save this for an I Don't Think So, Honey.
No.
I don't know.
I have my saying. I Don't Think So, Honey, and I, for the first time ever, I prepared it.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah.
I'll go after I Don't Think So. I know what to do for I Don't Think So.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
Okay,
I think
Chrissy,
roasted here live.
Chrissy, do you truly think that this is not worth the hype? I think it's been so worth the
hype. I don't know. I mean, I was telling Matt that I feel like the only hype was Matt and Henry and you guys.
No.
I don't know.
Well,
how much
listen, the thing is,
Henry's not my boyfriend.
Chrissy, you haven't met a celebrity in the past week.
Have I met a celebrity?
You
in the
haven't
past week?
Met a celebrity in the past week that you can talk about.
Oh no! I mean, well,
not like Michelle Obama.
Well, and just to hear Henry speak, it's just a joy.
He's a lovely, anytime. A lovely boy. Well, I did. Wait, hold on. I do want to talk about the Oscars one more again.
Yeah, one more again.
One
yeah,
one more again.
So you're a big fan of it.
Yeah.
And what do you think is the best movie of the year? Go ahead, talk about it.
Go ahead, talk about it.
God, as Bone eats his goddamn snack.
Here, sorry, she can. I'm listening. Okay, Chrissy.
I love so many different movies for so many different reasons.
But what's the best? Because one of them has to be the best.
What's the movie that made me feel the most in the two movies that made me feel the most while watching them, like have actual emotional reactions to? I'll say three. Were Moonlight. I felt anxious during the whole film,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was very good. La La Land, I was just like mesmerized the whole time. Sometimes I was a little bored. I will say that. We had some slow moments. And then Pop Star, I like laughed. I laughed my goddamn ass off.
We
so if it's
it.
About emotional reactions that I had in the theater, I would say those were my top three. I also loved The Lobster, and The Green Room made me very scared.
Oh, The Green Room.
The Green Room made me very scared. It was...
I've never heard of this movie, Green Room.
It had Anton Yelchin, I think is his name.
Oh, that's
who
sad.
Passed away
oh, yeah.
like
right.
A month after the film like got released.
That's really sad.
That was really sad.
Really, yeah. Such a freak accident.
Oh yeah, that
and I
was
think he's
not
a very
good
actor. It also had that actress who I think has the most ridiculous name, and I don't know why we don't make fun of her more for it. Imogen Poots.
Imogen Poots. Absolutely.
Come on.
Oh my God.
Come on. Imogen Poots. And she's really giving a vibe of an Imogen Poots. It's like if we were to write a character that's this girl as an actress, we would name
Imogen Poots.
Wow.
It's a character name. It's not a real person's name.
It's not a real person.
No, it's not.
Neither
is Imogen Heap.
Can we quote our favorite line from Popstar?
Yes. That's an amazing name. Deborah. Is that short for something?
I think Deborah.
It's not Deborah. It's Deborah. Oh, is that short for something?
I think Deborah. Me, Matt, and Sudi lost it in the theater.
Loved it. Loved that movie.
Funny.
Also, the whole number of the... Gonna fuck it like we fucking Bin Laden.
Oh, that was good.
The best part of it to me was the girl dancing the whole time. Just the way she was dancing.
Oh, the dancers were amazing in that movie.
It was amazing. I thought that movie was fucking incredible.
Very funny. I thought it was great.
Very funny movie.
And like, honestly, to me, better screenplay than La La Land.
Well, if you want, I'll talk all the doodah about Les Culturistes. All the doodah about Popstar. And I need to go back and watch it again because I've only seen it once in the theater. Same. Is that I think it's a perfect example of a comedy movie not getting bogged down in plot, which I think is a problem with modern comedy movies. Yes. Is that they feel like they're a slave to this three-act structure of like setting something up, the thing goes down, and they have to fix it at the end, which Popstar does do. But most of the fun parts of that movie is it like going off in these tangents that feel like sketches within a movie, but you're following the same characters.
100%. That's like a very, now that the comedies that have been popular over the past 10, 15 years are like the Apatow comedies, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, it's a common theme in those movies that act three sucks.
Yeah.
Like they get really slow.
Right, right. Or and even that the act two sucks. The act twos suck because it's just the longer stretch of the movie where it's like, it's the middle and, you know. I feel myself sometimes wanting
to be like, oh, I want to watch that movie, and then realize I only want to watch the first half of it, and I will turn a movie off halfway. Like, the things I remember loving about this movie are already done, so I'm not going to finish it.
Right. I love it when those movies get even more fucking crazy in the third act. Like, you know a movie's really good? Pineapple Express.
I've only seen it once.
I like it. The movie gets so fucking insane in the third act. Mm-hmm. And like, to me, that's like...
That's where they have like the warehouse fight.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
And like, it just keeps getting more insane. And I feel like that's how you heighten. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, in for example, like Knocked Up, which I think is so good. Mm-hmm. It's so good like 80% of the way. And then it fucking really slows down there.
I saw Knocked Up with friends from church. And the kid sitting next to me was, he had been homeschooled for most of his life, but had integrated into our high school. So still kind of a homeschool kid. He was a part of our church. He sat next to me, and the whole time he like shook his head and put his head in his hands, like in a disapproving way. Oh. And I was like, very much laughing, you know. I was doing that thing called laughing, mm-hmm. and he was judging it the entire time.
Judging you?
Everything.
Oh, everything. Wow. Just everything.
What would 12, 13-year-old Chrissy Shackelford think of the Las Culturistas?
I think she would be like, finally there's like a voice to me. You guys are holding each other.
Now Matt's holding me. I hold him.
12-year-old, 13-year-old loved culture, wanted more. I didn't have that many pop culture obsessed friends.
She loved the gays?
Yes. Yes. Here's the deal is that...
Ryan Murphy.
Like, Ryan Murphy was super formative for me.
Yeah.
That show popular. And this is a longer conversation for a longer podcast, but I went to a very Baptist school where the head pastor has a very anti-gay policy and put up a terrible sign on the church for the sermon the year after I graduated from high school called "Why Gay Is Not Okay."
Oh,
and
my God.
He's the Christian correspondent on Fox News now, and he's a huge
oh,
Trump supporter.
Wow.
He's terrible, and I'm sorry if anyone from my high school is listening to this, but I think he is terrible, and I think he's a horrible person. And from then on, I was like, I think I've cut ties with my high school.
You know what? That's... I hope that they are listening. I hope everyone from your high school is a Las Culturistas fan.
There are people from my high school now who are like cool and whatnot, have evolved from. We were certainly brainwashed in high school, in my opinion. I used to think the devil was inside me. But again, this is a longer conversation for a different podcast.
This is the thing to bring
the
it back.
The devil was inside me.
To bring it back
really
to RuPaul, it's like, I kind of, if I were to see that today and see a sign that says why gay is not okay, like, I would just laugh. Because it's just, it's not even offensive.
Yeah,
right now.
Because
you broke away from the Matrix and you were like, oh, this is just very comical. But of course, it's hurting someone. But still, anyway.
Well, the world is terrifying.
Certain parts of it, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, all of it, but like certain parts of it where people haven't evolved, yeah.
And with that, that's a perfect segue into at least my I Don't Think
okay.
So Honey.
Okay, so okay. You want to go first?
You go first.
Yes, I will go first. Now, I Don't Think So Honey, for those of you listening at home, is your favorite segment. I mean, it is the touchstone of Las Culturistas. We put 1 minute on the clock. We rail against something in culture that's grinding our gears. It's getting us. We get into all the ticks and tacks, all the doodah day for 1 minute.
Raw.
We got to itch our skin raw. We got to, you know, shed the bad skin like a snake does and crawl out of our issues with cultural.
All right.
Badoosh. Let's... All right, here we go. I just talked and said
okay,
nothing.
Matt Rogers, I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. South Brooklyn. You're the most overrated fucking part of New York. Oh, bitch, God. I don't think so. If I want to go to you, it takes me an hour and a goddamn half. The subways inside of you are fucking shit. If I ever see the R train again, I'll spit on it as it comes in. I don't care who's on it. I don't care if the conductor will come for me. Go ahead, come for me. You live in South Brooklyn. I don't think so, honey. Bay Ridge, I don't fucking think so, honey. If I want to go to a theme park, I'm not going to Coney Island. I will go to Six Flags Great Adventure at the Port Authority at yes. Midtown, which at least lives up to its name. At least you're getting there and you know it's going to be a little bit of a challenge and you're fine with it because at least there's good things about it. There's nothing good about South Brooklyn. If I want to go to fucking South Brooklyn and drink a mimosa, it's $48, bitch. What? I don't think so, honey. What? I don't care about you Park Slope moms and dads looking all hot with your kids. You don't care about them. They're accessories to you. It's all about the image with you. It's all about the aesthetics. I've been to North Brooklyn. I loved it. The subway access, amazing. I feel sorry for you guys. The L's going to shut down. I live on the Upper East Side now. Spanish Harlem more like it, and I'm gagging. I don't think so, honey. South Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yay, wow. Wow. Your kids are accessories.
It's very upsetting.
Wow.
Very upsetting.
What if you have a what if all of your listeners are from Bay Ridge? Listen, what if every single
move out? Listen, you have the ability to get out, okay? I'm sorry.
You're talking
but
about it like it's fucking Scientology.
It right. is. No, it's a cult. South
I can't
Brooklyn
believe we
is
didn't
a cult.
Talk about Scientology.
What about the heavy Chinese immigrant population in Bay Ridge, huh? What do you have to say to them?
Yeah, what do you have to say to them?
I have to say to them that it sucks that they live in such a shitty place. I have to say to them okay. it sucks okay. that they're commuting on the
uh-huh.
R.
Yes, okay.
Wow. It's
okay.
the land the subways forgot. Mm-hmm. It's the land the subways forgot. Okay. I work in Red Hook, Brooklyn, half
there
of
4 years.
There
is literally
I'm
one.
I'm done. I'm done making excuses for it.
There is
it's hard
one
to get around.
Train in North Brooklyn, and you're saying that train access is bad in South Brooklyn?
No, honey. I don't know if you ever heard of this. It's called the G, and it's also called the J, and it's also called the Z. And...
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know
and it's also
it.
Called the L, which is nailing it.
No, it's. Matt Rogers is the
L
only person in New York who thinks
it.
The L is
nailing
it. I lived off the L when I was staying with Sudie, who housed me when I had no home. She housed me and Henry, and we lived off the L. And let me tell you something, I got my life
for
daily.
For 2 weeks. Okay. For like 3 weeks.
Mm hmm.
You're not living there long term.
I live off the six now, and it's a joy. Every day
that's
for me
nice.
Is a joy.
No,
well, that's very nice.
Because it's not a joy. Because you know what? The six and the four and the five are narrow trains. They're not wide. You know what's a wide train? The R, the Q, the W, the N.
Is this your I don't think so?
Bowen,
no,
why don't you?
No.
If you have so much to say.
This is
Bowen Yang's I don't think
this
so,
this is
going to
end very
his
badly.
Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Matt fucking Rogers. I don't think so, honey, bitch. I am doing so much work day in, day out trying to promote this goddamn podcast. I wrote a post at 2 a.m. last night saying, hey, if you like Las Culturistas podcast, leave us a rating or a review on iTunes.
Yes.
It would really just be a signal boost for us. And, honey, mm-hmm. I have never seen you do this. Have I seen you ever make one piece of promotion?
Shut
make
up.
A poster? Make a quote poster?
I have.
Design the goddamn logo for this podcast? No, bitch. No, you haven't, bitch. I am.
I pour my heart.
I am pouring my. You do not take up my space in my I don't think so, honey, bitch. I don't think so, honey, Matt Rogers, for nodding his head at me with contempt in his eyes as I tell him what is what with this.
I give comedic value. I come up with.
I give comedic value. What are you talking about? I'm the one who always steers the conversation back to where it should go. I am. Joel Kim Booster has said Matt Rogers is the bull in the China shop, and I am the shop owner trying to. Assemble everything back together. Bitch,
I didn't know he said that.
Bitch, I am the North Star and you
that's
are
one minute.
Chaos.
That's one minute. I think that you are a lost young child. I think that you are a lost young child and never forget that you respect your elders and I'm older than you.
Can I please do my I don't think so, honey?
Yes, absolutely, but no. this is not resolved. But
it's
we
not.
Will
we I guess resolve. we'll have to just resolve this on the next episode.
We'll resolve
the
wow, there's
this episode,
conflict.
The Christy Shackelford episode of Last Culture Jesus ended in conflict.
Thank you.
Okay, all right, here we go. Mm-hmm. Christy Shackelford, Last Culture Jesus, time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Matt fucking Rogers. You do not interrupt a fucking I don't think so, honey. You get 1 minute uninterrupted to talk. You let Bowen speak. I am whatever the kid's name is. He is Britney Spears. Let Bowen speak. Leave
Chris
Bowen
Crocker,
alone.
And that's why I run shit around here. Chris Crocker.
I'm messing up the levels. I am sorry, Alex, but you do not talk during somebody else's. I don't think so, honey. I am not even a host of this podcast. I am a devoted listener. Did I get to talk when I don't think so, honey? Bowen, did I don't think so, honey? Austin, no, because it wasn't in the room, and I wouldn't have because it's his. I don't think so, honey. And I cannot believe you would shit. You would shit on your own. I don't think so, honey. You would shit on your podcast. Pull down your pants. You're taking a shit on your podcast. You are the reason that people, you know, like lose their dreams because they do not keep the sight of what was the goal. You are changing the goal. You are actively changing it. You are the crack in the pipe that is flooding the house. You are okay.
That's gotta be
that
1 minute.
That is over a minute.
That is a minute. Wow.
Chrissy Shackelford. Chrissy Shackelford has just said, "You are the reason dreams die," to me.
You
are the reason people don't get their dreams. She looked at me and said that.
It's because of you.
You are the crack in the pipe.
I have to tell you something.
You're flooding the house. You're flooding the house that God built.
I've never felt more joy than when you didn't know Chris Crocker's name just now.
I know, and I felt bad, and I could say it. I know.
And I could look you in the eyes as you came for me, and I could say Chris
I know.
Crocker.
Chrissy, careful what you wish for, because look, you were
Chrissy Crocker.
Chrissy was worried about this episode not living up to the hype. Honey, this is
incendiary.
This is a historic episode. True conflict coming out.
I will have a discussion with you.
We will. When
I look at you, Bone Yang.
We will discuss, bitch.
Chrissy and I will bounce back from this because we have to work together on a bus called The Ride, and we have to turn it on.
Yeah, we have to turn it on. We have to be professional. All of those tourists.
And
what about you? Care when we talk about Selena Gomez.
And you and I, we have a personal conflict now.
We have a conflict, and we will resolve or not. Let's see, bitch.
You should get a therapist in for the next episode.
Yes.
Is this the end of Las Culturistas?
Tune in next time to find out.
Tune in next time to
find
out.
Our thanks to Chrissy Shackelford. What a wonderful guest.
What are the dates of the show?
I've got a show this Thursday. Don't know if the episode's going to be out by then. That is okay. February 6th, though, is my final show of Diane Shangri-La.
And I want to say, I have seen Diane Shangri-La Presents Not Try Yet. Not Dry Yet 2 times, and it's so good, and you should see it because it's truly great character work.
Yes.
It's smart, it's really good writing, it's a great performance. You should see it.
I second that. I saw it just this past Friday, loved it. I think the ending, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but the ending is truly
it's so funny. And also, just one more thing, Bone and I's last show of Popperlet's Amazing Earth is also this Friday. Come, because it's going to be the last time you can see it, you guys. And
I'm going to be there.
Oh, good. Yeah. And it's really good, and we're so proud of it. And it's been such a nice, good, long, happy run at UCB. And also, please come out to Henry Kapersky's A Little Night Music on
January 20th.
On the 20th as well at 11:30 p.m. at UCB East. That will be so fun. Chrissy Shackelford, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you so much. A dream come
true. Bye.
Ding dong.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit foreverdogproductions.com.